we're not just satisfied with one satellite, we want a number of them, and we have a number of areas that we're working on. So one of them is a charge exchange thruster near and dear to my heart. So you have a metal piece here, another metal piece here, cathode, anode, high voltage supply. And what you want to do is to accelerate ions outwards. And as they go, they might hit some gas molecules, get very close to a gas molecule. An electron will jump across from the gas molecule onto the ion. It becomes a fast neutral. And that fast neutral happily leaves the spacecraft and moves out at, let's say, 100 kilometers a second if it's hydrogen. And then that release of particles out this way is a rate of, it gives you a change of momentum for the system. So got to conserve momentum. So the spacecraft gets pushed this way as everything gets ejected out this way. So does it work? And you might say, well, okay, that's fine. How much thrust is it? Here's an estimate or measurements calibrated of thrust versus the input power. And you can see this nice correlation. As you increase the power, the thrust goes up. And here's a plot of thrust versus power. And we're getting, you know, of order, you know, half a micronewton here for this particular experiment at about a watt of power. So really quite reasonable. Truly, we want tens of micronewtons too, but this thruster has not been optimized. So that's one thing we're doing. We hope that to fly on our next CubeSat, Coava 2/3. We also hope to fly a GNSS or GPS reflectometry instrument. I mentioned some of the applications, so looking at the sea state, in other words, waves, for instance, you can also use it to look at floods, altimetry, soil moisture, multiple platforms, including CubeSats. And here's one of those instruments. This is the so-called HARI version 2 from UNSW, from Andrew Dempster and his colleagues, and from their collaborator, Seaskip. There are two GPS receivers in here. And then you have some processors as well. So one of the first things Andrew and his people wanted to do was to see whether they could detect objects passively. You know, if you have a UAV or an airplane with one of these instruments flying along and there's a ship on the ocean and you've got GPS signals coming from space, hitting the sea, including the area by the ship, and then moving up, can you see a difference in the reflected signal associated with the ship rather than just waves? And so what this was showing was that when at this time here, you saw the peak flux here, and that was when you had a certain object, which was a ship about 100 meters long in the field of view. I've given him a certain allocation, about 5 by 10 by 20 centimeters. We want to try and get the best instrument we can on this. And so here's what we're looking at. We're looking at blue carbon. So things like looking here at mangroves, salt marsh, seagrass, that sort of thing. And the reason is because actually those blue carbon sites store 3 times as much carbon as a forest. So if we really want to make a big difference with regards to carbon capture, we actually need to do something involving blue carbon. So work on the ecosystems in that coastal intertidal region. And so that's one of our things. We want an instrument that's well suited to that. So that means it's got to be working towards the blue end of the spectrum, but we also want to be able to see the near infrared region. We're looking towards a spatial resolution or sampling distance of 42 meters along the track, 10 meters almost across. And you say, okay, that's 42 meters, that's pretty big. 10 meters, that's big as well. You know, a decent sized whale might be 20 meters, for instance. So you really want to have be down in the 10 meters thing. And then you say, well, you know, how good is this compared with other things? And it turns out that Landsat, which is, you know, a 2 meter by 2 meter by 2 meter satellite weighing a couple of tons, its spatial resolution is about 100 meters. So it's worse than we're going to do with a CubeSat, 30 centimeters tall and with an aperture that's only about 5 centimeters. We're actually better than Sentinel as well, which is another commercial group out there, which only gets 10 to 60 meters, but not Planet, which is better spatially, but our spectral resolution is much, much better. We'll have something like a 15 nanometer band, and we'll have 34 where across the from the blue to the near infrared, whereas Planet has 4. So it's really showing the power of CubeSats here and what you can do if you design an instrument cleverly. So what we wanted to do here was to have a really good camera so people would be able to see, you know, visually by eye what we're looking at with something like 10 meter spatial resolution. And we'll couple that with our really good spectrograph and imaging spectrometer over here, which is able to disperse the light. So it's showing you the dispersion, so you can measure the wavelength information. My conclusions here, we're really working hard to try and help develop the Australian space sector, not just us, you know, the academics, but also the industry part. We're really very heavily focused on industry here, but with research to be able to solve existing problems and future problems and have the human capital to do that. So not just solving last year's or problems, but looking at the future problems. So human capital, changing the capabilities of CubeSats, UAVs and their instruments, and progressing those devices to create value. Made a really good progress, not excellent progress in the students and the research. And we've got many exciting developments for the Coaba 2/3 CubeSat. Our thinking at the moment is that instead of having 2 3 units, we'll make 1 6 unit CubeSat with everything in it. We'll have multiple UAVs and ride chairs. The instruments in Coaba 2/3 will include the plasma thruster you just saw, the advanced hyperspectral imager, the GPS reflectometry instrument. It'll also have a plasma wave receiver that will be able to look at the ionosphere and study space weather. And we'll also have a student star tracker called CROSS, which is developed by a number of our undergraduates. So really very exciting. And we hope to be successful with the New South Wales government proposal to do a ride share for a 6-unit CubeSat for New South Wales government, in which we'll be having a competition for industry groups to put in payloads. And the best ones will get very severely reduced prices to ride into space. And we'll also have a commercial client part to that as well. So with our 6U, we'll be hoping for 4U to be cargo, essentially, and to really help jumpstart New South Wales's move into the space sector. But really a very exciting time for us at Coaba, for our partners, and I think for the New South Wales and Australian space sectors.